Welcome to the Classy Ring Attire Podcast. I'm Joel.
I'm Chris.
And
I'm Q from Trashy Ring Attire.
Yeah!
We had to amalgamate our podcast, but you know, minus the cursing.
Yeah.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, Joel doesn't really feel like editing, so we'll try to keep the...
That'll be such a pain to, like, try and take an episode of Trashy Ring Attire and, like, turn it into a Classy Ring Attire acceptable episode.
Yeah, a lot of beeping.
I would be up all night.
At the very least, my cohort Blair is not part of this episode. Unfortunately, we do miss him, but,
Okay, all right. Miss is, seems like a strong word.
His absence is felt.
Okay. His absence is acknowledged.
Blair, we notice that he is not here.
I miss you, Blair. Well, you know, at the very, you know. Well,
you have to say that, otherwise the next episode would be really awkward of Trashy.
Although, yeah, I would love a couples therapy episode of Trashy Ring Attire.
That would be amazing.
I think every episode of Trashy Ring Attire is couples therapy.
Okay, fair enough.
Fine. Mostly centered around The Miz and Wade Barrett.
Yeah, you'll notice that we're, like, stalling about actually talking about wrestling.
Yeah.
Because
I didn't really pay attention to Raw.
Well, let's see, that's the thing. It's like, if you listen to last week, we can just tell you, like, this week is an update is nothing's better, everything's the same.
Joel, get that card app game
pull out WWE Supercard.
Need to have another
You're going to have to play us a round of WWE Supercard again.
I swear, after listening to that last one, I was like, I'm not going to download it. Joel, jeez, man.
Are you winning?
No. But I am enjoying the animation.
Yep. Watching those actual cards, computer graphic, tackle each other.
See, I was lucky that I had kind of a busy week last week to where, like, I could keep my mind off of the card game. Because if I thought about it long enough, I probably would have downloaded it. And this week, if it slows down any, I will probably...
Man, you are going to download it the second this podcast is over.
Well, like, I was having a really, really slow day at work.
Yeah.
And I just have to sit there, and so I was playing WWE Supercard, and, like, so I had John Cena, and the opponent put out... I had Daniel Bryan, and my opponent put out John Cena, and then of the, like, six or seven graphics that they use, it was like the flying knee graphic of the card. I got really excited, like way more excited than I should have been about this card game. But it was a Daniel Bryan card graphic flying knee kick.
My retort to that is so trashy. My mouth shut.
This podcast will be called The Temptation of Jonah.
Oh, dear Lord, I like that.
That is actually pretty good. Let's go with that. I mean, hopefully it'll be close to a Scorsese.
We'll see what happens.
Okay. If we could toot our own horn here. Of all the wrestling podcasts, I feel like we are at least Scorsese level. Right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, like, who's Leo and who's De Niro, though, out of the two?
I mean, I've pecked on the pound, so I'll take De Niro.
Okay. I mean, I will not deny Leo. No, that's not good enough for me.
Fair enough. Okay.
That works.
So.
I'm guessing that makes you... The blonde girl from Wolf of Wall Street.
Oh man, yeah, I'll take it because you know what that means. I definitely did my part in those sex scenes.
Yeah, you did.
She was a nice lady.
John was taking a trashy level, and Joel was just like, "Yeah, classic." Yeah,
and those pumps, man. Sorry, I'm going into my DSW habit. Let's
see. All right. So before we started recording, Joe, he mentioned that you were quite tired of Roman Reigns at this moment.
Let me rephrase that. I'm tired of the way they're booking him. I like Roman Reigns. That's Undertaker, right?
Yes, that is an Undertaker.
Okay. I'm looking at a what is it, a 12 inch?
About a 15 inch yeah.
figure of Undertaker in Chris's room. Or sorry, the lair of
the podcast palace.
Yes.
The podcast palace.
Yes.
And from afar it kind of looks like Roman Reigns, which makes me feel like
This was all planned.
Yep.
No, that was a...
Roman Reigns why you hate him.
No, that was a very special Christmas gift from Joel a couple years ago that is now serving as our Fantasy Football League trophy.
Yeah.
Oh.
So that's why it's still in my room, because I'm a two-time champion.
He even has the Sarah neck tattoo on that
really?
One. So you can tell when that toy was made.
And of course, when Joel handed it to me for the first time, that's the first thing I looked for. yeah. for some weird reason.
You gotta see if it's there. You gotta see how old the toy is yep. based on the tattoos that Undertaker has.
Mm-hmm. That actually makes a lot of sense. You could actually get it removed and make it more authentic by installing a voice chip that says, "That was the most painful tattoo I've ever had." Like yeah. the Wikipedia article.
I mean, that's an awful tattoo to have. I would not...
Getting it, yeah. And then, his name on you?
Yeah. It's getting it, one thing, and then getting it removed...
Yeah.
Which is, from what I understand, is way more painful.
Well, Sarah always seemed a little cutthroat. Waka waka. Oh, yeah. I'm bringing trashy one way or another.
Fair enough. He's skating around it. We thought he would just be trashy by using F-buttons.
No, I'm just going to put a lot of bad puns into this thing. Fair enough. Blair, I'm representing you, by the way. No, but with Roman Reigns, it's not that I'm sick of him. I mean, you know, I still pop for the Superman punch.
Yeah.
I don't think I've ever popped for the spear, because, by anyone, but...
Okay, if you say by anyone, then I'll accept it, because, yeah. like, he has one of the top spears that I've ever seen.
Right. Yeah, yeah, by all means, but, like, by anyone, I mean...
And he makes Christian's spear look silly.
Yeah.
Anyone makes
Christian's spear clearly, look but, silly. You know, just by comparison, like, yeah. one-to-one, yeah.
Well, the other thing was the switch move, and I didn't like that either.
Oh, the kill switch?
Kill switch, that's what it was called.
I hate that
move. Well, yes, an overcomplicated move.
I would rather, like, even though he never really got the spear like, you know, he should have, I was still happier with the spear than the kill switch.
Yeah.
You know just what I really didn't care about that kill switch at
you
all.
You know what I like more than the kill switch finishing move? The camel clutch. / the accolade, or whatever Rusev's calling it. I'd rather see the camel clutch. And I hate the camel clutch.
I know you hate it.
You would rather see Rusev mount another man from behind than...
Yeah, Christian than the kill switch, yeah.
Well, it is more exciting.
Exactly.
I mean, if we're going to really talk about the homoerotic nuances of wrestling, then I guess it would be appropriate to bring up the camel, or the accolade.
He calls it the accolade.
The accolade.
Yeah.
But it's a camel clutch.
But it's the camel clutch.
It's like the yes lock, no lock.
Well, yeah, yeah, and LaBelle lock or whatever.
And the Patriot Act.
Oh, yeah. Like, when Jack first came back with the new Zeb Coulter version of himself, the very first time he used the ankle lock, he called it the Patriot Act. Now it's just the Patriot Lock.
Oh, is it? Did they, like...
Yeah, now it's just the Patriot Lock.
Okay. Yeah, so, you know, that way, you know, if you're a heel, you can harken back to Bush era
right.
legislation.
And that's what they were going for at the time.
Yeah.
But they kind of distanced themselves from that.
Well, just afterwards. the constant, like, renaming of moves.
Well, yeah. You know, just like Cena's attitude adjustment, you know.
Was the pimp drop back in the 90s.
Yeah, and it was the FU whenever Cena first started using it.
Yeah.
Well, because he was using it in direct competition with Brock Lesnar.
Right.
He should rename his move back to the FU. Now that he's back.
Yeah, back with Brock. Yeah.
I mean,
okay with that.
That would be kind of.
I would actually pop for that. If he, like, at Night of Champions, because they're kind of. PG is still there, but not, like, it, you
not
know.
Not a pay per view.
Not as enforced as it once was. Mm-hmm. And if he did an attitude adjustment. And then just yelled, "That's an F you," to Brock Lesnar. I was like, yep, I would pop for that.
Yeah.
That is how Cena could get me back on, as, like, completely done as I am with Cena right now at this moment. That would reel me back in.
That doesn't sound very completely done at all. That sounds like adequately done with Cena.
I am. I'm a little of a fair-weathered fan on Cena. I don't really have a middle ground. I'm either all for or all out.
Yeah, I don't have
a middle ground.
But mostly all for.
No, I don't have a middle ground either. I'm pretty much
all against. Yeah,
I'm pretty much FU towards Cena.
There you go.
Yeah.
So your issue with Roman is, I'm assuming because they're giving him a push, and you know we can argue all day whether or not we think he's ready for it or not. But there's not like a whole lot of substance there.
Yeah, it's a real like Roman Reigns' character is generic.
Okay.
Himself. So, like, he's good in the ring, he's enjoyable to watch, but his character, he has some charisma, but let's be honest here, he's still Shield guy, Roman Reigns.
Right.
Whereas Ambrose and Rollins have switched out of both of their
I'm sure there's a strong reason why he's the one that has the Shield music.
Yeah,
he's
the music and
the riot gear and everything.
And the entrance through the crowd.
There's a very poignant reason why they kept that on him, because... Obviously, out of all three of them, he was the one that probably needed it, you know. And you know, if it works, it works. But that's all there is to his personality, and I'll agree with you on that. Mm-hmm. You know, I still very much like his stuff in the ring. I think he's a very exciting person to watch, but as far as personality-wise, he's still got some work to do. So it might be a case of, like, too much too soon, and that could lead to, you know, getting shuffled back, like, you know, like Ryback last year. Mm-hmm. You know, like, Ryback was, it seemed like he was going to be the next thing. Mm-hmm. And partly due because of booking, and partly due because he works so recklessly. You know, all that combined kind of led to Ryback either getting shuffled and forgotten about, or put in a doghouse, or however mm-hmm. you want to look at it. So, yeah, I'll agree with that.
I mean, I think my thing with him is that it's not so much his fault, but it seems very telegraphed that they are grooming him to be the next Cena, the next top guy for the next 6 to 7 years. This is him right here, so we don't have to worry about this again for another half a decade.
Right.
And I don't want that.
Yeah.
And so it's not even dreading, you know. I think he has, you know, his ring work is, you know, nothing to complain about. I think his mic work is good and has nowhere to go but up.
Yes.
Like, yeah. I think that's his weakest point, and it's still a very strong point for him. And has improved, you know, I've seen it improve over the, you know, 2 years that he's been here.
Mm.
And I see every indication of it getting better. And, but the fact that I'm sitting there, I'm like, well, I completely see how we're literally just going to get Roman Reigns replacing John Cena,
mm-hmm.
and nothing else changes.
Right, like he will be the new version of John Cena, Hulk mm-hmm. Hogan, or whatever, like the ultimate good guy type thing. And I think that's what we're all afraid of.
I like the idea that you guys have presented actually on your last podcast about just pushing people, not one person, but right. just pushing a group of people to the main event and just have the main event have different people main event different pay-per-views. And I think that's what happened in this is going to sound really redundant just because of obviously people always glorify the Attitude Era all right. the time, and but like the one thing I really really liked about the Attitude Era more than the violence and all the Monday Night War stuff is the basically the fact that any like seven people could legitimately right. be seen as main event.
Yeah,
main
yeah.
And I think a major reason that a lot of people hold the Attitude Era in such high regard is, you know, you look at who was on top at the time. You know, you had Rock and Stone Cold at the very peak of it all,
mm-hmm.
but then you had guys underneath like, you know, Triple H and Chris Jericho that were still at that top tier, not quite as, you know, ultra megastar status that both of those guys were, but it was still a rotation of like all these guys that could believably be main event and be a champion.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's a big reason why, just because something's TV-14 doesn't automatically make it good.
No.
Look at half the stuff that's been on FX or whatever. Like, it's just because they can get away with saying certain things or showing certain things doesn't make it a good show.
Yeah, completely agreed. Well, and I think that the shock value aspect of it is some of the worst stuff that happened in the Attitude Era.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I feel like the Attitude Era, the shock value part of the Attitude Era and the multiple main event players
mm-hmm.
are two completely separate byproducts that are a result of the competition with WCW.
Yeah.
Like, it wasn't that these two things actually affected each right. other. I just think
the
that...
The competition helped.
Yeah, I think some of it was... I don't think they ever planned to have, let's have multiple people
yeah.
be top stars. I think they were always trying.
They were just clamoring
once you lost Hulk Hogan,
yeah.
you had this amazing thing with Hulk Hogan, business-wise, you know, creative-wise, mm-hmm. whatever, but business-wise, you had mm-hmm. this character that you could slap on anything and sales would skyrocket. Any news, you know, any sort of t-shirt, any sort of magazine, any sort of,
mm-hmm.
you know, spaghetti can, you slap Hulk Hogan on it, it's better. Business wise, it sells more.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. I think they desperately wanted that.
Yeah.
And so, you know, and then they spoke about it. Like, they tried to make Lex Luger that. Right. They tried to make Diesel that. Like, they.
And then they. There was, like, a weird, like, you know, back and forth with. They tried with Bret Hart for a little while.
Mm-hmm.
They were wanting it to be Shawn Michaels for a little while. But the Shawn Michaels really wouldn't play ball or a lot of things.
Well, mm-hmm. I think a lot of it was probably during that, you know,
Monday Night War time frame, mm-hmm. they didn't have the time to let anybody get over. If you didn't, you know, oh,
yeah.
Rock's not instantly getting over right now, back to Stone Cold. Stone Cold's not instantly getting over onto Chris Jericho, you know?
Right.
And so you have all of these guys that are just trying,
yeah.
you know? And so they all kind of got built up together and back and forth.
Yeah.
Whereas now, because that competition's not there, oh, it's not totally working with, you know, Roman Reigns, but we will keep pushing this and keep focusing on Roman Reigns because we like Roman Reigns. It's gonna be Roman Reigns,
yeah.
no matter what how you feel about it.
Yeah.
And we have the time to push Roman Reigns week after week until you accept it. Or if Roman Reigns gets hurt, back to John Cena.
Yeah,
I completely agree. I'm gonna use a very nerdy reference.
By all means, you come to the perfect place.
Yes,
okay, fantastic. All right, so WWE right now is taking a Dragon Ball Z approach to their booking.
Okay, they should this is be a Joel event.
Okay,
I'm
okay.
going to bow out of this.
Okay, they should be taking a Pokemon approach to this booking, which was what the Attitude Era was all about, and I think that's why. Merchandise sales in the Attitude Era were so high, if we're going to talk strictly business. You know, everything was just so high, everything sold. Austin 316 shirts definitely sold the most, but there were shirts of every kind out there, DX, The Rock, and everyone. It's because these superstars were not necessarily put as better than one another. It was just, and they weren't booked, like, Austin wasn't booked over everyone. He mm-hmm. wasn't. He just wasn't. And that's great. Whereas now, you've got, like, And that's like the Pokemon approach, because like everyone has their favorite Pokemon.
Yeah.
Everyone, and when you do that, when you have a variety of things that people can pick and choose, and they're built as not necessarily one is better than the other, but like they're all, you know, just preferential, they're subjective. When you have that, then you have a bigger business model for the product as a whole. Now, what WWE has been doing for the past, minus the Attitude Era, with everything else from Hulk Hogan John Cena, and now with Roman Reigns, is taking a Dragon Ball Z approach where they are just booking everything as Goku's going to save the day. No one else can do it. Everyone else is kind of cool, and that's all great, but Goku is the only one who can save the day. So you've had two Gokus. And
you've had two, and you've had a lot of people that they've tried it out on.
The thing that I like about what's happening now is that, like, as far as this going to the former model, or the Attitude Era of the Pokemon model that I've explained, is that you actually have stars that are not only good,
mm-hmm.
but are hungry.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think I've ever seen as many hungry... Shoot, I needed to censor myself a little bit there. Hungry mother truckers in the WWE.
Fair enough, whatever.
In the WWE now.
Mm.
As in the past, like,
yeah.
15 years.
No, and I've said it before, like, I will put this roster up against any other roster WWE's ever had, or WCW for that matter. Like, mm-hmm. There's more talent on this roster than, and I'm also including the NXT roster.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely. So they should be able to succeed very well, because you have all these, like, just pick any one of the Shield guys alone.
Mm-hmm.
And you can, or all of them, and you have basically the next 10 or so years of your company.
Yeah.
Right there. And some sort of rotation of those guys, and sends, you know, some guys that might come up between now and then, and you're set. You know, not even counting guys like Cesaro, or going down to NXT with Sami Zayn, or Tyler Breeze, or Adrian Neville. Like, those guys, they're going to be keeping this company afloat for a long time.
I mean, you've already got it in the main roster right now. Who do you have? Like, NXT obviously is cultivating a lot of really, really good future main eventers right now. But, like, right now in the main roster, you already have fresh talent that are hungry.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Shield, Wyatt,
Bryan,
obviously, when he comes back, he's going to definitely be mm-hmm. one of the top. He's already a main eventer by this point.
Yeah.
But here's, I think, the, like, tragic downfall is the story of Zack Ryder, who grabbed every brass ring, who, you know, did literally everything that was needed done. He got over with the fans in spite of his booking. He took an alternative route, connected with the fan, got the fans behind him to a point that we wanted Zack Ryder.
Yeah.
And, the chants were there, and the cheers were there. The merchandise was being sold at an overwhelmingly disproportionate rate to the amount that WWE was actually investing in this guy. Mm-hmm. And it was working until it didn't, until it got in the way of what WWE actually wanted. I still think it was John Cena got involved mm-hmm. in that Eve Zack Ryder thing.
Yeah.
And they could not risk the John Cena commodity.
I completely agree with that, actually.
And so, that's what it was. It was like, they had to get... Because I don't think that Eve was supposed to get the initial boos that she got, honestly. I think that was it. And those, we cannot risk these boos bleeding over to John Cena.
Well, yeah.
And Zack Ryder got lost in the shuffle and got completely...
Literally pushed off the stage.
And it's just a thing where... Anybody, at that level, it's just got to be very disheartening to watch, like Big E level kind of guy, mm-hmm. And Ben Big E, behind the scenes rumors has Big E has seen it in his corner as like somebody who's pushing out for him and stuff. But, any sort of pep talk from a Cena or an Undertaker in kind of the locker room, or even like Vince coming down being like, if you show us you got what it takes and you show us you can get over the fans and, it's all up to you, and that's just such a clear example to anybody at that level, any, like, Xavier Woods kind of level, mm-hmm. where it's like, I see this example of, I can show you I have what it takes. I can show you that I can do all this, and I can get over the fence, and I can get you money, but if it's not exactly what you need, if it doesn't fit the storyline you are forcing, it will not work.
Well, I think booking has been stubborn to, until they couldn't be stubborn anymore. When it comes to Cena, I think it's because Zack Ryder is the perfect example for this. But anytime anyone else got over, they would utilize as a rub for Cena. That's all they did. When Zack Ryder's popular,
when Roman was at his hottest,
yes,
like right after the Shield, all that area. Like, what did we see? We saw Cena holding up Roman's hand at the end of Monday Night Raw. They had the Fatal 4-Way and all that stuff. Yeah, they anything that works, they latch Cena onto it.
I don't understand that at all. I don't understand the fact that, at this point, after Punk and Bryan, it is obvious that you have stars that people will cheer for.
Yeah.
Like, relentlessly cheer for.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's this guy who you've been trying to push for 10 to 12 years, and given he did bring the company a lot of money, and, we were all fans of him at one point or another, and, I'm not going to deny that I didn't like Cena at one point.
Yeah.
But, at this point, you have viable, not a replacement, you have viable replacements.
Yeah. Yeah.
And even with all of that, you are still trying to give this guy a rub that he doesn't, it's work ethic has nothing to do with this. It's just the fact that I don't care if you say he came to work on time. That's what you're supposed to do. At this point, it's just you're trying. The biggest reaction that Cena has gotten over the past 4 to 5 to 6 years is when he was suplexed 16 times and mauled by a part timer.
Yeah,
I mean
lost cleanly to Daniel Bryan 2 SummerSlams ago.
Yeah.
Both times. That's the biggest reaction he's gotten in recent years. Yeah.
Exactly. So with that being said, I think it would, showcase that the business model of one Superman leading a Justice League is just not working.
Yeah.
But it has to be, and I don't have the numbers, but it has to be working for the finances, at least in a way that they are not willing to take a risk that it might go down.
I don't think it's that it's working for the finances. I think it's just saving the finances.
I think it's not failing, and that's good enough. I think when you're a publicly traded company,
mm-hmm.
you have to your first priority is to not fail.
Yeah.
And then, and I think it's doing that, and they can't risk something. They can't risk shooting for something better because that might fail, and then they would be failing.
But the problem here is that, in this particular industry, WWE has no competition. During the Attitude Era, they took so many risks to stay afloat. At this point, you have no competition. You are the industry.
Yeah.
So, this is the time to take risks.
Well, I get, but then again, they could almost, they, It is, but they could afford it better because they weren't a publicly traded company.
They weren't a publicly traded company. Yeah. Now, they have every 4 times a year, they have to prove success.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And if you do something like, let's do something crazy, and it'll take 8 months for this crazy thing to pay off, but let's do something crazy, and that won't work because twice in that 8 month period, they'll be like, nope, we're losing money.
Yeah. The problem with, I think then there's a problem with the investors. Because, like, you have, I mean, they have to build a long-term plan.
Well, the investors aren't you and me.
Well, of course. I completely agree with that. I mean, like, I completely agree with what you guys are saying. I think then the investors are short-sighted.
Yeah.
Either the investors are or Vince is. Whoever. It's just, if you can't necessarily put out a model for growth and stability have to go hand in hand.
Yeah.
You can't just go for one or go for the, you can't put all your eggs in one basket, and you can't necessarily, I mean, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Here's the thing. Go to Walmart and walk through the boys' section. Mm-hmm. Try and find a nephew or a cousin of that age so you don't look like a creeper walking through the boys' section of clothes at Walmart. But, like,
I'd say
if you can manage that, like, just look at the WWE kids' clothing. It is John Cena on a t-shirt. Mm-hmm. Or it is John Cena and Rey Mysterio on a t-shirt. It's John Cena and Triple H on a t-shirt, you know? Mm-hmm. But it's always John Cena on a t-shirt.
Yeah.
Because John Cena on a t-shirt still sells the most. It is never Zack Ryder or Dolph Ziggler on a t-shirt. Mm-hmm. I mean, they might be the, you know, it might be like a picture of the face roster with, you know, Cena big and up front, and then Sheamus and Dolph Ziggler and Cesaro maybe, you know, in the background. Mm-hmm. But John Cena is always biggest and on the front. And it is still the safest thing for them to do financially still is slapping John Cena on it. Because Cena is the closest thing that they have to Hogan in that people who don't know wrestling still know John Cena.
Let me ask you this, Joel. Has John Cena always, for the entirety of his life, since he was born up to now, has he always been that way? Was he born with the ability to sell t-shirts?
No.
Okay, now, let me continue with that. Why was he able to sell t-shirts? Why is he able to sell t-shirts? Because what?
I mean, I think I'll say because WWE picked him, and he didn't leave. They also picked Brock Lesnar. Mm-hmm. If you go to PlayStation 2, bring in the pain or whatever, Brock Lesnar is front and center.
Yes.
But he left.
Okay. Yeah. Now, with that being said, they built Cena in order, I mean, I'm not trying to insult your intelligence, but I'm just saying they built Cena to, you know, to the star that he is and the commercially successful star that he is. The cash cow that he is. He wasn't just up and, he didn't just get into the company and he was able to sell t-shirts. They had to build him for that. Now, he was built in a time when the company had no one. So, the company did not have stability. But, they looked for growth. Out of necessity, they looked for growth. Mm-hmm. Now, right now, they still have Cena. They still have a cash cow. They still have a cash cow now. But, as with all things, all good things, they're going to come to an end. And Cena, with his nagging injuries, and let's be honest here, I'm sure his shirts still sell very highly, but I know that they're not selling as much as they used to. That's something that you can, I mean, I'm 100% sure of that. Mm. Now, with that being said, you have your stability with John Cena. He's still there. You should still book him well. You should still book him like he's been booked, you know, as a guy. Like they booked him with Bray Wyatt. You know, they booked him well. I enjoyed that feud. A lot of people enjoyed that feud. And still his demographic of younger audience would still buy his t-shirts. With that stability, you have this opportunity to build main eventers with the stability. You don't have the necessity to do it, but you still have someone who's bringing in money and other people who can bring you even more money.
Mm. I mean, if we want to play the game of what they should do, you're completely right. They need to. Cena has created this safety bubble where they can do crazy weird things in the mid card and see what works. And they're doing that a little bit because Bray Wyatt constitutes as crazy weird thing that we can try out with this safety of we still have Cena at the top to slap on the poster. So they are doing that a little bit. I don't think they're doing that enough. I think you agree they are not doing that enough.
Completely.
And I think that
they're doing it to a point.
They're doing it to a point. And I think that is because Cena is safe. And in their market, they feel safety trumps everything. And because, you know, we said, like, Brock Lesnar was going to be the guy, and he left. Mm-hmm. Lex Luger, back then, was going to be the guy, and he left. Mm-hmm. You know? and Cena hasn't left, and Cena, beyond everything, has proved that he won't leave. You know, CM Punk was the closest thing to the next guy, and he left. Like, that, I, you know, that hasn't been touched on, but I bet that, like, was a little bit of a nagging sting on top of everything else, you know, with the, like, oh, he didn't want to work with Triple H, grumble, grumble stuff. The fact that he left, and he didn't even have another company to go to.
No.
You know, he just left.
He just wasn't interested in it, yeah.
And so, you know, after, you know, and again, we can argue that, no, CM Punk, you know, fought through adversity and built himself. Mm-hmm. WWE, I'm sure at this point, feels a little bit like we built him and we gave him opportunity and he left. Mm-hmm. And so Cena hasn't left and Cena won't left. And I think as much as anything else, that's what's still giving Miz screen time, you know? Miz has not proven himself as well as other people, but he is still getting more screen time because he will not be leaving, because he will do all this stuff. And I think if WWE had their complete way, Miz would be the next one.
Yeah.
Because of that more than anything else. Mm. And, you know, and they did give him Miz an opportunity there, and that didn't work, but he is still the one in the Marine 3 and the Marine 4.
Well, don't you think that just means that priorities need to be shifted?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay, that's all I'm saying.
Absolutely.
I mean, I'm not trying to bash WWE at all. I think they've done a really, really good job, especially in the past year. 2 years, building new stars. I just think that they need to pull the trigger now when they already have a safety net.
There's a quintessential revert to John Cena problem. Okay, look at the storyline that he is in right now. John Cena is feuding with the Authority. And what conceivable problem can Triple H have as Triple H, not even as just the Triple H the game, as Triple H the COO of WWE, what conceivable problem can he have with John Cena? Is John Cena selling too many t-shirts and visiting too many sick children?
Like, this is funny.
It is a tailor-made story for Daniel Bryan that they cut and pasted John Cena into when Daniel Bryan had an injury.
It's funny that you say that. My wife, who watches wrestling with me, now obviously she's not as in-depth about everything, but like, we were watching Money in the Bank. Is that when Cena won the title?
Did he climb the ladder?
He climbed the ladder and got the title, right?
Yes. Yeah, because it was vacated.
So, yes. So I remember this moment when it wasn't an epiphany, because I knew this is the exact reaction that normal people who watch and follow the storyline would have. But like, my wife, who's a casual viewer because of me, was watching this and saw Cena grab the titles, come down, go to the corner, look at Triple H and Stephanie, and kind of like, I got him. And Trips and Steph were just like so upset about it. And so I'm going to paraphrase what my wife said, because it is definitely trashy. Sure.
Due to classy.
Yeah. Thank you.
Be trying to make it a little bit classier, but why are they upset? I mean, like, he
makes money for them.
Well, he all the time.
Right.
He what is he just slipping on his mouth skills at this point? I mean, it's just
Yeah, it was one of those things where it's like that was just them. The only explanation I have for that is, like, they were being heels to be heels.
Yeah.
It was, you know, basic heel logic.
And, but, like, at this time, when Triple H should be cheered, I mean, like, half the stuff that he's saying completely makes sense. He comes out and he says, Cena, nobody wants you as champion, is bad for business. I'm like, yes, that's actually very true. Right. This is very bad for business.
Well, like, Triple H has not fully, you know, you compare Triple H to, he's basically replacing the Mr. McMahon character.
Mm-hmm.
And Mr. McMahon had plenty of reason to hate Stone Cold. Like, that feud made sense in a manner where, like, Stone Cold is bad for Mr. McMahon personally, even though he is simultaneously making him hundreds of thousands of dollars. Whereas Triple H, you know, on one hand, Triple H has this advantage of, like, we all know that Triple H could still go in the ring when this feud should theoretically, at, you know, come to a head of, this can only be settled in the ring, as all wrestling storylines should.
Of course.
You know? But at the same time, Triple H still has fans, you know? Triple H had a career, and still has a career of such, you know, legacy and magnitude, that there are people who will cheer Triple H forever. And that's not a bad thing, you know? That's a good thing for him. And for, you know, to it's a testament to what he has accomplished in the industry. But he is still catering to that and pandering to that. And there are people, you know, smart insiders who, you know that Triple H is by and large responsible for a lot of the stuff that they like in NXT.
Exactly, yeah.
So, like, I understand that he's being, you know, this, you know, heel character, but I'm still excited about Triple H. I'm excited for him to actually take over the company in real life, so I can't be that upset. Let's also acknowledge, like, he's shilling the network every week, mm-hmm. which, you know, they genuinely want you to buy, and they are... They would not have put, "You should buy my network," in the mouth of Mr. McMahon back in the day.
Yeah, that's true. Because
people would not have bought that network out of spite.
That's true.
Because Mr. McMahon said that they should do it.
Yeah.
And so Triple H, despite his actions, he is still not a full-blown heel the way Mr. McMahon was. And I don't know that if he ever will be.
Well, he doesn't even need to be, but, like, the storylines still need to make sense. Like, yeah. I go back to my wife all the time because I think she's, like, the biggest example of, like, a casual viewer that I have in my life. But, like, whenever the CM Punk... She started getting invested in... Or, she invested... She, I made her get invested in wrestling whenever
the CM... She accepted the TV was on during CM Punk stuff.
Well, whenever Summer of Punk 2 started happening.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So, throughout that whole feud, she was on Triple H's side. Out of the fact that, you know, she would just logically... look at CM Punk and say, "I don't know if I'd want this guy to be the rep of mine," and he kind of sounds like he's whining and Trips is doing... So, you know, we would actually argue business of the storylines with each other. Same thing when it got to the Daniel Bryan thing, like, you know, she was definitely on the authority side. She was just, like, going, like, supporting Triple H and Stephanie McMahon, saying, "Of course, you know, I wouldn't want the goat face to be on my posters either. You know, obviously you'd want to have somebody like Randy Orton do it because he's cleaner cut." Or whatever, just a better visual representation of the company.
Right.
When it came to the Cena versus the Authority thing, that she didn't get. And that's the thing, like, that doesn't make any sense. Like, if you want to keep Cena a face, if you want to keep the Authority heels, you have to keep that storyline separate.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't make any sense for Cena to just go against the
Authority. No, it's the most... It's the most clear-cut example, to me, of the eternal problem with Cena is... Cena is the panic button for WWE. When in doubt, hit the Cena button. Put Cena in the storyline.
Yeah.
They want Roman Reigns to get over. He is getting over. But just in case, let's rub a little Cena on him.
They should just have Reigns go and do exactly what Cena's doing
this
right now.
This whole thing literally could be Roman Reigns... not Cena, and it would be fine.
Yes. Have Cena deal with Lesnar.
I won't promise it'll be fine, but yeah.
It'll be better than what we have. I mean, have Cena go against Lesnar, have them fight for the title, whatever, but, like, have Roman Reigns focus on the Authority.
Have Roman Reigns needs to cut a promo. Why wasn't I given this opportunity? Mm-hmm. Grumpy, grumpy, grumpy at the Authority.
Yeah.
That's fine.
Yeah. Exactly. And, completely agreed.
Except, you know, but now what we get is... you know, the Night of Champions match apparently is set, but the story for this week was Triple H isn't completely convinced that Cena should be the one, so let's have six guys in a tag team match, and I'll just observe, and whoever I feel like should get it will get it.
And here's honestly the thing that blew my mind about that. This was lazy storytelling to the 90th degree, because it drove me crazy. So yeah, so they are trying. They're like, okay, the Authority's against John Cena, which makes no sense. Mm-hmm. But let's say, like, they needed to have that happen. Mm-hmm. So John Cena 2 weeks ago got German suplexed 16 times in the greatest John Cena beatdown of at least the last 5 years.
It's my favorite John Cena matchup today.
Okay,
like, yeah, he... I mean, the prototype might have gotten a worse beatdown at some point in his career. But, like, this is the worst... Ever since the John Cena, the Marine character, the Superman character of John Cena, has never been beat down so badly as thoroughly as he was. And so let's mention, like, oh, John Cena, I no longer have faith in you. Mm-hmm. The last champion had to vacate because of injury. I don't want my pretty boy poster, you know, John Cena, to be injured and not on the TV every week. I want John Cena not in matches. Mm-hmm. You know, and that's why I don't have faith in John Cena to not be broken after Brock Lesnar. I would like to feed somebody I don't care to Brock Lesnar. That's a fine reason for Triple H to logically not want Cena to be in the title scene again.
I'd go with that.
But they didn't do that.
Right. Let me ask you guys this. Since we've talked about Roman Reigns, you know, obviously I think they're thinking about having either him or I think the Vince wants The Rock to go against Lesnar.
Yeah, right now the
Brock
the
and Rock.
The argument is either at WrestleMania 31 have Brock and Rock or Brock and Reigns.
Okay.
Triple H obviously is really apparently for Reigns. Spearheading for Reigns.
Of course.
No pun intended.
Oh. To me. Well done, sir.
Hey, I've been holding back on so many jokes because you said magnitude earlier and I was this close to saying pop, pop.
To me, that comes down, is Brock Lesnar going to have the titles at WrestleMania?
Yeah.
Because mm-hmm. I want those to hand it over to Brock. That doesn't fix anything.
No, it really doesn't. I mean, I'd
going to go right back to 2013.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, no, I would love for... And again, I have zero faith in them to accurately push Roman Reigns in the way that I want to, but if you want Roman Reigns fighting for the titles at, you know, WrestleMania against Brock Lesnar, basically have Brock Lesnar disappear. He had to appear at Night of Champions because everybody defends at Night of Champions. Maybe at Survivor Series, but I'd be okay. Or maybe at Royal Rumble, but like I'd be okay if there's no title defenses then. Brock Lesnar's a part-timer. It's in his contract. He doesn't have to maintain the same schedule. So he just takes his belts and goes home. You get some pictures of like Brock Lesnar wearing the belt and eating Fruit Loops in a chair and be like, nope, I don't have to be on Raw this week. And so Roman Reigns is going to bring the titles home. Mm. You know?
Okay.
Again, separate the authority as much as possible from this storyline. Or this might be asking for too much, but like going back to like WrestleMania like 15, 16, there was the McMahon family was saturated into every storyline.
And it was good.
And it was good. And they were faces in some storylines and heels in other storylines.
Yeah.
Like, on the same night, at the same event, you know, the McMahon family, the McMahon dynasty, was being cheered for in one and booed in the other.
Yeah, Shane was fighting The Rock in one match, or, like, screwing The Rock over in one match, and then fighting for his sister's honor in another match. And just, like, he got cheered and booed. Of course.
So, like, you could almost have the authority upset at Brock Lesnar for being a bad Plan C, but now they can't get their titles back. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so they are okay with / cheer for Roman Reigns to go out there, you know, and say this is what's needed. Go Roman Reigns, because John Cena can't, because I don't want him to. I have no better reason right now, but I don't want him to. So go Roman Reigns, while simultaneously keeping down, I don't want Daniel Bryan again because they did that last year, but like keeping down Dean Ambrose, you know, that's a fair, you know, crazy guy. That's the closest thing I can think of to Stone Cold right now, you know.
It's like a hybrid, like Mick Foley, Stone Cold
guy. Yeah, just a grumpy, out there, rough and tumble, I'm a crazy puncher guy.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that could work, you know. And if you know, fast forward 6 months, that's happened, and I'm complaining about, like, why is the authority a heel there in a fridge? I'm sorry. I'll just go ahead and apologize in advance if I don't do that.
Yeah.
I hope I don't.
I have a feeling that's going to happen, and then I'm going to call you out, Trashy.
If you call me out, I will say that is a justified call out. Because I do think you could...
You can cheer for
the
and...
The best stuff that they do is when they don't have cardboard cutout cartoon characters. The best part about CM Punk was, like, that he was not a great dude.
Yeah, that's true.
He was, I mean, and the fact that, you know, yes, they still had, you know, everybody was cheering him. The fact that, you know, your wife was like, nope, I see it. I see why you wouldn't like that. I see, you know,
exactly.
At least a little bit of, like, 3D characters, you know, fully dimensional, well-developed characters with multiple thoughts and facets.
Yeah.
I don't know. I was reading a article about, like, the dangers of binge watching. Not on you as a human, like, oh, that's bad for your health. Because, of course it is. But whatever. I don't care. It was like, what was important was I was talking about, like, the dangers of how it was hurting television industry, which I did care about. But it was saying, like, part of that was it was forcing people to write differently. You know, whereas, you know, in the days of, like, X-Files, they had to spend 5 minutes every X-Files episode reminding you, like, oh, these are the characters and these are the dynamics. Mm-hmm. And we don't have to, you know, and so that's because I'm a casual viewer and I haven't watched X-Files in a year and a half, or I've never seen X-Files before, and I need to be immediately sucked in. That's not the case with, like, House of Cards or Orange is the New Black, where, like, I've assumed you've watched everything because it's all literally right there.
Exactly. Yeah.
And so the writing style's different, which is either A, forcing TV shows to be 13 episodes instead of 22 per season, or B, really stretching out the padding episodes with different pointless stuff. Mm-hmm. And so wrestling is very much stuck in this casual fans either don't care about stuff or won't focus on stuff. JR has been quoted in saying, like, we can recycle everything every 7 years because at that point we have effectively a new audience.
That's what makes it such a unique form of media.
Yeah, I mean, there's stuff where, like, you know, at Extreme Rules, duct taping the feet so that they, for a last man standing match, so he just literally can't stand. Like, that's it's brilliant. First time I was on that, that's a creative way to do that.
With Batista,
It was with Batista the first time I saw it, and then I don't remember who did it again.
Didn't Alberto Del Rio do it to the Big Show?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. And so, like, for somebody,
we were forced to watch Big Show try to do a sit up.
Yeah.
Oh.
But see, that's the thing. Wow. For somebody, that's a brilliant creative thing. The first time, I'm like, you've done that before, and I don't care for it.
I am so glad I didn't pay to watch that interview.
Technically, neither did I.
But look at it this way, with the network. You can binge watch wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
You can power through. Beardsley is doing that. He's powering through 2 to 3 years of Raw, just week after week after week after week.
He's going straight. He started at 2012, and he's, last I checked, he's around Elimination Chamber.
That has got to be impressive / painful.
Well, it's okay with him because he's a new wrestling fan, so he just doesn't know yet. He'll find out in a hurry because he is just dragging through Laurinaitis right now.
Oh, no.
Yeah, right in the height of that. And he's starting to see, because he's been stuck around Elimination Chamber for about a month now.
Just has no...
He went through, like, the first month or so of 2012 pretty quickly. Mm-hmm. And now he's very much slow. Like, he's back at school now, so there's that, but...
Well, yeah. And still, 2 hours of Raw is a lot. Did they go 3 hours?
They go 3 hours halfway through 2012. He's still at 2 hours for right now.
Jeez. Yeah. My condolences, Beardsley. That's rough. Well,
I've heard him describe some of the movies he watches, so this isn't that too terrible by comparison. Oh, he loves campy horror.
Ah, okay. Well,
he's actually excited to see the new Leprechaun.
Leprechaun Origins starring Hornswoggle
in it.
I've heard so many bad things about it. We're actually going to do a segment that we're planning on Beardsley coming on and just giving a quick review of Leprechaun and having him on Class Ring Guitar.
I don't know. Back in the Hood is going to be hard to beat.
That's what we keep saying.
Rumor is, Hornswoggle does not rap. So, interest diminishing.
Even though he...
A little bit.
Even though, back when in the days where he couldn't speak, he could...
Rap.
To Snoop Dogg at WrestleMania. 27, I think.
Well, as you guys know, rapping and speaking are two entirely
different. You are absolutely correct, because they did an American Idol parody in the middle of WrestleMania 27. They sure did,
yeah.
God, that was blocked out of my memory.
That was the only time Hornswoggle actually spoke during that whole time.
Before Santa. It was Mick Foley.
Santa Foley.
Yeah.
Before Santa Foley gave him the
But then it was real Santa because he disappeared, remember?
Well, yeah.
Because the camera panned.
Well, Santa Foley is the real Santa.
Of course.
Oh, I always picture Mick Foley to be Santa. Like, that's exactly how Santa Claus would look.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. So let me ask you this. Are you guys still on board with Roman Reigns being the one to take the titles at WrestleMania?
If they do a better job with booking them between now and then, yes.
Mm-hmm.
I honestly, the way I saw him a couple months ago, I was convinced that he was the guy that they were going to go with. And I'm still convinced that that is.
That's what they're going to do. You just don't know if they should do that.
Right. Like, about a month ago, the way they were handling him, I would have said yes within the next year. Because, you know, they would develop him, he would build, and he would get better. Now it feels more like they're forcing it a little bit.
I can kind of see either... I don't know. If I were book... I don't want a fantasy book on during the whole podcast, yeah. But, like, I feel like...
Oh, we've done it before.
Yeah. It's fine. Well, I mean, like, I kind of feel like Rollins cashing in at WrestleMania might be good.
Yeah.
Or Bray Wyatt being the one to go. I don't know why. I really like the sound of the Authority going to Bray Wyatt to take down Lesnar, because he's the only crazy guy, the craziest guy to take him down.
Yeah.
You know, but I
that would be an interesting, that would be an interesting aspect, absolutely, yeah. I could see
and
that.
He's got fan support, like, good
no,
lord.
No, yeah, yeah,
that dude is being cheered like crazy.
Yeah. I mean, the part of it is, like, if do you have an off-season, quote-unquote time, where you could let somebody who's still pretty much a mid-carder, you know, go and just, like, surprise... take the titles.
Yeah.
I mean, all he'd have to do is win the Royal Rumble.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just have Bray Wyatt win the Royal Rumble.
Yeah.
And I actually had this scenario in my head where he would literally, with Harper and Rowan, just clear house, and then, like, at the end of it, when the three of them are in the ring, just have Harper and Rowan just walk out. Just, like, climb the ropes and just get out of the ring.
Yeah.
That's interesting. I'd see that. I like that.
At this time, I was kind of expecting a Bray Wyatt versus Luke Harper match at WrestleMania.
Okay.
So I mean, at some point you can go two ways with a faction. You start adding people, or you start break them up. And you know, and both have their advantages and disadvantages. You know. Mm-hmm. So I don't know which way they would go for that kind of thing. I mean, one way you're the Nexus, one way you're the NWO.
Oh.
So.
That is very, very true.
I mean, those are your dangers.
That's a very big danger.
Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, advantages and disadvantages in both directions.
I'm trying to figure out where Core would fit in.
The Core is the result of the Nexus.
Yeah.
If you break up a faction,
you might end up in a poorly spelled group that no one cares about.
Like an offshoot of one of the NWOs.
Mm-hmm. I mean, no, so NWO eventually went that way, too, where you had...
And they have, like, a Latino version of the
NWO. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
There was
I just put that in there because Blair gets so mad anytime I reference the Core. So I just wanted to find a way to zero in on
always
that.
Who is in the Core?
Wade Barrett, Ezekiel Jackson, Heath Slater, and
Justin Gabriel.
There you go.
Was Justin Gabriel? Yep. I thought Justin Gabriel stayed with the new Nexus.
Nope, because he went with... because he tagged with Slater for the Core.
I believe you.
Because they were apparently all equal.
Well, I just remember...
Apparently,
yeah. I had this kid's book called Superfan. And it was, you know, it was like a, just for children's book. It's the kid...
Is it one of the ones that I gave you?
No. Okay. I actually found this on my own.
Oh, excuse me.
But it was like, the plot was this kid...
I like finding weird WWE books and giving to him for Christmas.
This kid wins a contest where he gets to sit ringside with Rey Mysterio. And Rey Mysterio is the main character, Punk's the main villain. And this book was published, like, maybe 3 weeks after the pipe bomb promo.
Are you serious?
Yeah. Like, oh, wow. So it was just like, oh, that just has to suck.
Very timely, yeah.
That, you know, like, Punk Baron Face, like, 3 weeks before your book got published.
It was like, whenever Kane took his mask off the Monday Night Raw, right after they released the 2K14.
Yeah.
Which had Mask Kane.
It's horrendous.
Yeah.
So, but in the book, like, he's running around at WrestleMania, he's like, oh, I'm so excited, there's, and he's like, and there's the Core! And I'm like, well, this clearly happened at WrestleMania 27, because that's the only WrestleMania where the Core exists.
Does the Core exist at WrestleMania?
Yeah.
They had a really quick match against a weird tag team.
Yeah, it was a
Big
random
Show,
other collection.
Big Show, Kane,
was that
Kofi,
the one when Kane was doing the horn thing that Santino did?
Yep. Yep, because Santino was in that tag team.
He just kind of waddled around while he did that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. How many gimmicks has that guy had?
Kane?
Kane, yeah.
I mean, he goes back and forth between Demon Kane and Corporate Kane. Like, that's how they differentiate them, him now. Like, whenever he's wearing a mask, they literally call him Demon Kane now. If he's not wearing a mask, they call him Corporate Kane.
Which reminds me, what is the name of that TV show that they did? Cheap Pop. Have you seen this yet? No.
Yeah. Have you seen... it's on the new thing on Netflix, BoJack Horseman.
Oh, yeah, it's kind of
like that kind of animation style, a little bit.
But it's honestly, it's probably best described as, like, a WWE version of Robot Chicken.
Yeah, there you go.
Like, it's 10 to 15 second animated sketches.
Yeah.
And it is, like, it honestly, it looks like if it wasn't on WWE.com, I'd be like, some fan made that.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And wasn't that the case? Like, a fan made it and they put it on their...
I think it was somebody... deep in, like, the .com side of the business. And that's the thing. Like, there'll be random people who, like, really pull out gems. This is, like, quite a gem. Mm-hmm. So, take some time. Watch it. Actually,
I think WWE took it down, though.
Did they really?
I think they took it. Because I remember I showed it to you last time we recorded. And then, a day or two later, they took it down for whatever reason. I don't remember why.
Oh, that's upsetting.
That's very upsetting, because that's one of the best things they put out
just
recently.
Just because they kept reintroducing a new version of Kane.
Yeah, so, Daniel Bryan kept winning. They're like, all right, Daniel Bryan, tonight you have to fight Safari Kane. And so Kane would keep coming out in new costumes.
Yeah.
He's basically like Foley.
Yeah.
Only, you know.
I mean, Super Dream was to have, like, Cactus Jack and Mankind be the tag team champions. So,
yeah,
they can do it now with Corporate Kane and Demon Kane being tag team champions.
And he would be the tag team champion.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I still don't understand why he's wrestling in slacks. Like, when he removes the mask, does that mean he doesn't have the inability to put on a singlet
anymore?
He
can't find his ring gear. Like, he has a sensor in the mask that reminds him where his ring gear is.
If they retcon that, and that's the reason why, I will punch you.
No, it's gonna, and it's here, I will tell you how it's gonna be. It's gonna, like, after this, like, deteriorates into comedy, because eventually, you know, all of Kane's they will have Kane put on the mask, and then they will do, like, Terminator screen vision for him to locate his singlet.
I would not put it past them.
I will bet you here now, I'm calling it here now.
Aren't they making a new Terminator 2?
They're making a new Terminator 5.
Well, you know what I mean, like, T-O-O, that's what I meant.
Okay, of course. Yes, it's called Terminator Genesis, spelled G-E-N-Y-E-S-I-S. Not even lying.
I don't want to see it anymore.
Not even lying.
What, is it 1998?
That like, upsets me so much.
Oh.
Like, no, you, like, the intentional, like, hardcore spelling of Genesis, it's, you
yeah,
know.
Like, it's, they might as well just make the last S in Genesis a Z.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All that hard work by Sega to try to get people to spell that word right.
So just, I fully expect the Terminator to be wearing, like, mesh shirt and duster at the same time.
Fair enough.
Cyndi Lauper's wardrobe on a guy.
Mm-hmm.
Great.
On that note, let's talk about what's making us happy.
What's making us happy this week?
What's making you happy, Joel?
Oh, I gotta think about it now. You go first.
I gotta think about it.
Make Jenna go first.
Jenna, what's making you happy?
Not Genesis. Definitely. what's making me happy? Well, wrestling-wise, or...
just theoretically, both. But if not, whatever.
If there's something making you happy wrestling-wise, absolutely go with that.
Let's see. Wrestling-wise, I'm happy that we get to see another Cena-Lesnar match. Just due to the fact that there's a slight chance that we will see a repeat of what happened at SummerSlam.
Yeah.
And I am all for that, because I have never done this before with a match before until SummerSlam, where right after the match ended, I rewinded it and watched the entirety of that match right as it ended.
Yeah.
And I don't know if it's because of disbelief or whatnot, but it was just a lot of fun. So I'm looking forward to that happening. What else?
Anything non-wrestling related?
Non-wrestling related? My wife's 6 months pregnant.
Yeah! We're waiting just before we talk about that.
Okay, yeah. So, apparently, I've got enough testicular fortitude. Can I say that?
Sure.
Testicular fortitude to knock my wife up with twins.
Yeah, and first of all, like, that was the best baby announcement I've ever seen on Facebook.
Which one?
The trailer.
Oh, okay, the trailer.
That was the one. Well, that's the only one I've seen.
Okay, yeah. We had a gender. Thank you for that. We had a gender announcement. Pokemon based. Where like
really?
Yeah, we're.
I might have seen that. Yeah.
Somebody. I edited a Pokeball coming out and two pink Pikachus coming out of that. So. You know, that's always a good thing. And you know, I had to leave my wife in Chicago for a couple of days while I'm doing some work here, and. You know, now I'm doing a podcast.
I know. This is this is the work, right?
Hi, Mrs. Q, and we promise he's actually doing something, and he didn't leave you for nothing.
Yeah. Yeah, honey, I'm getting sponsorship for this.
We'll send them back soon. No worries.
Yes. Within the next 3 months, right?
Sure, yeah, whatever.
I'll be there by around the time the kids are there. You know,
There you go. Let's see. Kind of rest-related, but not exactly. I really enjoyed last night. Like, we had a bunch of people over at the apartment. And honestly, as we've mentioned here, Raw wasn't anything special. But it was, you know, it's now turning into an excuse for us to just get together and hang out and kind of BS around. And it was fun because, you know, nobody was overly stressed about any upcoming plays or anything like that. And we were just all just happy. And Joel, nice. Like, ran Twitter for the night and I didn't have to worry about that. Because, like we've noticed, it's lately, Monday nights has just been me and Beardsley. And whenever it's me and him, and I'm on Twitter, it's just anger. Just anger.
Bearded anger.
It's just anger or completely pervin on AJ or Paige.
You feeling a little too Lawler?
Okay, I don't go full Lawler. I go half.
I go half Lawler.
I was also, I'm not going to say what I was thinking. So yeah, that was a lot of fun. And then, like, full-on non-wrestling related, I enjoyed the crap out of Cyrano.
Yeah, good.
Oh yeah, how was that, by the
Cyrano,
way?
Cyrano went well.
We had a pretty good crowd.
Yeah, we broke what we needed to. Yep. So
nice.
That's really what's important, I guess. They'll probably let us do stuff there again if we want.
Awesome. Yeah, now so. We just got to figure out what that is.
Everybody...
What that is and when.
Yeah. everybody seemed to enjoy it. We had a lot of good positive feedback.
Yeah. And so yeah,
we will probably post a couple of photos to the Classic Ring Attire Facebook page.
Yeah.
Just to kind of like.
Oh yeah, we have a Facebook page. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
Just to acknowledge it.
And just to say this, you know, because of course Joel was fantastic, and he's really good at doing comedic spots. You're really well done. Like I knew you could do it, but I just hadn't seen that version of it.
Okay.
And so that was really good. Heather was fantastic, obviously. Mm-hmm. The main guy, though, I can't remember his name off the top of my... But the guy that played Cyrano.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Perry.
Perry, yes. We had a discussion with the people that I wrote up to the show with on the way back. The first thing I said was... was it just me, or does he seem exactly like Kevin Spacey? Like, looked like him, spoke like him, acted like him. It was as if Kevin Spacey from House of Cards, like his character from House of Cards, was playing Cyrano, and it was perfect. It was fantastic. Like, that guy blew me away. Yes.
Interesting.
Yes. Yeah. So that's what everyone missed. So next time that there's a play going on, you guys should show up.
Yeah.
And actually, yeah, you should definitely show up. Greensboro, North Carolina is definitely a nice area to visit.
Yes, it is.
Visit.
Regardless of how we might feel about the roads. That's a different story.
Yeah.
That's how we checked our audio levels today. Is complaining about Greensboro roads.
Yeah, and drivers. Yes. Anyway, go ahead.
What's making me happy? Heather's roommate has started to dip toes into wrestling.
Yes, she joined us last night.
Yeah, last night was her first night watching Raw.
Yeah.
Well, largely it was I had to watch SummerSlam separately from Chris.
Yeah.
And so she was just in the room while I was watching SummerSlam. Mm-hmm. Because I fell asleep during SummerSlam. That's why I was like, I did watch SummerSlam with you.
Yeah, you did.
So I missed like the middle chunk because I watched the first couple of matches, fell asleep, and then woke up for the Brock Lesnar match.
Yeah.
Did you sleep through the Ambrose Rollins match?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He did.
Oh, wow.
But, I mean, I went back and watched it, so it's okay.
And we were fine with him sleeping through Reigns and Randy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. So, but she was watching. She got really invested in, like, the Jericho-Bray Wyatt match. So, she's been, like, been
a few matches here and there, kind of. So that's kind of fun, like getting always fun. Somebody who's willing to watch, so you kind of get to pick and choose. Like, oh, yeah, you should watch these matches, you know. And that's always a, you know, we could debate forever. Like, what are the five matches that you should use to introduce somebody? It's been fun to do that. Yeah, non-wrestling grade Cyrano. I'm very thrilled with how it came out. Very thrilled that it's over.
Yeah, I was about to say, like, this is... Now Joel gets, like, a rare, like, brief moment of free time, spare time, when you're not working.
Well, I mean, and that's the thing, is, like, maybe 60% of that show was Cyrano talking. Like, right. He had so many... And I had a lot of lines, but I couldn't be like, Perry, I have a lot of lines, I'm currently complaining. He's like, what, really? So I had to, like, wait for Perry to leave so I could complain about how many lines I had.
yeah. No, he had a lot of lines. And this was, like, a very condensed version of
Yes, it was.
Because I think The actual
Cyrano runs about 4.5 to 5 hours.
Yeah, and you guys condensed it to about two.
Mm-hmm. A little over two. Somewhere between two and a 2.5.
Yeah. And it didn't suffer at all from it.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, like, I'm a little excited about Joel having some free time. Like, we might actually hang out, like, you know, as friends.
What? That's crazy.
And not, like, just for podcasting.
Crazy. All right. As always,
Actually, no.
Oh,
no.
Really? Right,
look at this,
really?
Joel. No, all right, really? Hold on a second. Joel, I am offended that you want to not only skip through this particular, my favorite portion of the show, and my theme song.
Yep. But
go ahead.
Jonah, would you like to do the honors and make the announcement of what time it is?
What time is it? I don't have a watch. I guess I can look at my cell phone. I guess my cell phone. So it's time for the mail sack!
Mail sack, mail sack, why is there hair in this mail sack? Mail sack, mail sack, let's all go inside. Mail sack, mail sack, why is there hair in this mail sack? Mail sack, mail sack,
it's your mail sack.
We have only one lone submission to the mail sack, which is acceptable, I guess, but not greatly accepted. But this comes from Blair, Jonah's trashy brethren. He said, "How empty do you all feel knowing that there's one key member of your team there with you? Have fun, jerks."
I think he's trying to say,
how empty do you feel knowing that there's one key member of your team missing?
Not there with you.
I mean, Beardsley, I couldn't show up, I'm sorry.
I know.
Yeah, Beardsley had class. It's really upsetting that Beardsley
couldn't make it. I mean, I know you wanted to do that, but...
But he's trying to better himself through school.
So maybe be nicer to Beardsley.
Yeah. I mean, my roommate Ed, he had to step out. He's got to work on some homework somewhere.
Yeah, I mean, but
I wouldn't call him key, but you know, he's there.
He's never
appeared on the podcast.
He adds to the atmosphere. You know, that's what matters.
Well, yeah, exactly. You know, because I always talk about, like, you know, if I get angry about something, you know, and everyone's like, "What are you going to do about it? You're going to get angry about something you watch on wrestling?" I was like, "Yeah, I'm going to get so angry that I'm going to punch my roommate Ed harder than I usually would, because I usually punch him anyways." So I mean, yeah,
does he reel back from it though? No, probably not. Okay. Nah.
So, yeah, Beardsley couldn't make it. So, I hope that answers your...
Thanks
for
pointing out, making it awkward.
It feels... I don't say it makes me feel empty that Beardsley isn't here.
No, we know he'll be here he'll be here watching Raw next week.
Yeah, he'll be watching Raw, and we know that he'll come back to do his review of...
Leprechaun.
Yeah.
Leprechaun Origins.
So really, Blair, at some point.
Blair, I don't see why you're making such a big deal about
Beardsley not being here.
You really need to get over it.
I know. Jeez, Blair, come on.
Just...
This is very unprofessional. This is very trashy.
Canadians can be so emotional.
Airing our dirty laundry.
I mean, look at 97 Survivor Series. Of course it can be so emotional.
More like spazzy ring attire.
Can I do it now?
Yes, go ahead.
As always, you can follow us on Twitter at CR. Wait, do you have anything to plug?
Trashy.
Let's do your plugs first in case somebody always closes out. Like, oh, they're just doing plugs now.
No one would ever do that. How dare you?
I know some of you guys do that.
All right, let me.
Let's do the guest plugs first.
Okay. I'll guest plug this as uniquely as I possibly can. As always, you can follow Trashy Ring Attire at TR Attire on Twitter. You can follow my cohort at BD Attire.
BD underscore CRA.
There we go. BD underscore
CRA. Because he has to ride our coattails.
Of course. Those are some wide coattails to ride. I would not blame him for us playing passenger. So, you can follow my my trashy brethren, Blair Douglas, at BD_CRA.
Yep.
Or you can follow my handsome face at Jonah Q, JonahKue. At this point, we are having another episode coming up fairly soon. Our last episode that we recorded after SummerSlam with the great David Spain, we had some technical difficulties.
Blair's fault.
Well, you know, whose fault it is will go unnamed, but it wasn't me.
By the process of elimination.
But we'll have another TRA mail sack episode coming up this week, and we'll have Mr. Spain on after Night of Champions. Other than that, personal plug, go buy my album on iTunes. But yeah, that's it.
How, like, what's the
album? Oh, right. JonahKue. The album is called Harvest Redux. It's only $9.99. You can get like 17 tracks, which at least half of them are listenable. So
$9.99.
It's only $9.99.
So basically, Raw's been advertising for you.
Yeah, more or less.
Week after week, right? That's what that's for?
Yeah, absolutely. Mm.
That's what, of course. Trips and I go way back.
Alright. You work out.
Exactly, you know. I just wasn't as pasty, so he couldn't really push me. sorry.
As always, you can follow us on CR Attire. We live tweet all Mondays and appropriate Sundays.
Sure do. And if you have any thoughts, questions, anything you want us to bring up on the show, send those over to our email. That's classofringattire@gmail.com.
We are also on iTunes, so you can subscribe there. Just look us up, Classic Ring Attire on iTunes. Subscribe, give us a rating of
5 stars.
That would be really helpful. If you wrote a review of the show, that would also be helpful.
Absolutely. And if you are listening to us on wrestling.insidepulse.com, leave us a comment on there. We'd love to hear from you.
We are also on Facebook, so, you know, take a look on Facebook. Like us there. That's an easy way to keep up with the show and all the excess shenanigans. Cyrano is an example of that. Excess shenanigans of us.
Yep.
Until next time, stay classy and huzzah.
Huzzah.
Keep it trashy.